Welcome to this week's edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability in the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Now, complaints about the state of Verulamium Lake have become part of the established calendar in St Albans. You know, the smell of it and the greenness of it. And rather more quietly, also part of the calendar, is concern about low flow levels in the River Ver. That lovely chalk stream river, which is supposed to support all sorts of wonderful wildlife. Well, at last there are plans to address both of these issues. And who better to talk to about this than John Pritchard from the Ver Valley Society. So thank you for joining me. You must be delighted that something is being done at last to improve the situation for the Ver and for the lake in Verulamium.
Absolutely. Well, we've been campaigning since the 1980s to see improvements in the lake and the river. So this plan, all the partners have got together, the council, Environment Agency, Affinity Water, and Heart CMS, and have done a great job.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear. So you're pleased with this then. So let's start with the lake. What's going to happen there?
Well, broadly speaking, the lake's going to be narrowed slightly and deepened. So all the silt that's in there at the moment will be removed, and the lake will be refilled. There's going to be a lot more marginal planting, so that will helpfully prevent the leaves from blowing into the lake, and that's one of the biggest problems that causes the silt and the smelly state of the lake. So
okay.
So the marginal planting will be a big assistance to that.
Yeah, okay. And as you say, this hopefully will stop the silt from accumulating and stop that smell that we get as well.
Yes, well, funnily enough, the marginal planting will also put off the Canada geese that like to wander out of the lake and onto the grass and back into the lake and make a mess in the lake.
Right.
So all that'll help greatly.
Excellent. And you mentioned geese there. How will this affect the herons, which are a lovely thing?
The herons, they'll do well out of the whole thing because the heron island is going to be made slightly more stable and slightly larger, so there'll be more room for the herons. And native fish species, perch, I think, and rudd are going to be introduced into the lake as well. So they'll be able to tuck in to those.
Excellent. Oh, I hadn't realised about the addition of fish. That's fantastic, isn't it? But how about the boating lake? I mean, that does bring quite a lot of people a lot of pleasure.
Well, the boating lake's going to remain. There'll be access to the lake for putting a boat in, but again, more sympathetic planting around the outside of it to make it a bit more of a natural feature.
Right, OK. So it sounds basically as if it's all going to be a little bit more natural and then perhaps a bit smaller, but with that water moving through to take the silt with it.
There is a little bit of extra water planned to go in through the lake, which will help the situation too.
Excellent. OK. So just moving on a little bit, the allotments at Cotton Mill, the allotment holders there are not very happy. What's the situation there?
Well, the broad situation is that Affinity Water are reducing the amount of water that they take by 5 million litres a day or something of that order in a few years' time. That's part of their commitment to improve the state of the river. And that'll mean that the groundwater level will rise and the allotment area will flood more frequently.
Right, because it has flooded before, hasn't it?
It's flooded several times in recent years, that's for sure.
Right, OK. So, but this might all might not happen. It might be in a few years' time and, well, they'll soon find out when their wellies need to be a bit longer.
It'll take some time for the groundwater levels to come back up.
Yeah.
And, it will also depend on how much it rains.
Right, OK. So that's something that might happen. So moving on to the rest of the river itself. I mean, as you said, isn't it just lack of water that's the problem in the river?
Well, that's a significant problem, the amount that's abstracted from the Ver Valley. And obviously part of this scheme is to take slightly less.
Right.
Another part of the plan is that the river will go back to a more natural course so that the riverbed will join up with the valley bottom. So the groundwater will actually be able to feed and support and make the river more sustainable.
OK. So where will the course of the river change then?
The main change of the course of the river is actually through the Cotton Mill allotments, so that the river will move through what is the centre of the allotments, because that's the area where the water is most likely to reappear.
Oh, I see. Yes, indeed, because the river has been diverted there, hasn't it? It didn't naturally run through there.
It's been diverted in quite a few places, that's true. And there's another piece further down towards Sopwell where, again, the groundwater will connect More closely to, or will connect with the river.
Right, okay, so a more natural river, and one, hopefully, will this improve things for wildlife?
Well, definitely. The best bit of a chalk stream really is a clear gravel bottom, and that's where most of the food lives, the mayfly nymphs, the caddis larvae, and they're the things that the fish eat, and they're the things that the kingfishers eat, so the whole food chain will be much improved.
Yes, and as we've said before on Environment Matters, the River Vare is a chalk stream, which is a rare habitat and one that we should be protecting.
Most certainly. It's one of only just over 200 in the world, most of which are in southern England.
Yeah.
So it's a unique ecology.
Something we should be proud of. Now, you said you've been campaigning for these changes for a long time. What's proposed now, is this a long-term solution?
Absolutely. For this section of the Vare, it's an excellent solution. It'll put the gem right in the heart of the city, and people will be able to come and enjoy looking at what a chalk stream should be like.
Jolly good. Well, it's great to have some good news. Thank you very much indeed for joining me. And I was talking there to John Pritchard of the Vare Valley Society. And you can read more about the River Vare and Verulamium Lakes Improvement Project on the St Albans District Council website if you follow the links through from the parks pages. Now, you may have seen the fly-tipping stunt in the town centre, or perhaps the double-page spreads in recent council publications about fly-tipping. Or frankly, you might just have seen piles of building waste, old toys, hedge trimmings, dumped all over the countryside. Fly tipping is obviously a problem, so I spoke to Louise Palmer, the Waste and Recycling Officer for St Albans District Council, to find out why and what's being done about it. Louise, thank you for joining me. So why do you think fly tipping has become such a problem?
Well, we collect data and we record it on something called Fly Capture, and our results show that it's not a massive increase. In fact, our highest spike was before the household waste sites changed their opening hours. A lot of people do attribute the rise in fly tipping to the change in the opening hours, but looking at the data, that's not actually the case. I think it looks so much worse because it's highlighted on social media. So whereas we had all these instances before, a lot of people just wouldn't notice them, but where it's flagged up on pages on Facebook or Twitter, yeah, it obviously everyone gets to see it.
Yeah.
So it does look a lot worse, but actually it's about the same level. But it's the low-level fly tipping that we're seeing a rise in. People putting a bag of household waste next to a litter bin, or they'll go to the recycling site in a car park and they'll just put a bag of stuff they don't know what to do with next to the recycling banks.
I was a little bit distressed about the idea that if I went along to the recycling banks and, for instance, I'd got all my Tetra Paks that I'd carefully washed and squashed or whatever, and the bank was full, that if I put them by the side of the bank so they could be taken when the bank was empty, that's fly tipping.
Strictly speaking, it is, and we do have a problem with Tetra Pak. We're looking to put in more containers because at the moment the company that empty those will only come once a fortnight. To come once a week, it's really expensive.
Right.
So we are looking to put more containers. But you're right, that would be classed as fly tipping.
That somehow doesn't seem quite in the spirit of things. But anyway, most fly tipping isn't like that. So, I mean, really, why is fly tipping? Sometimes it can be dangerous, can't it?
It can be really dangerous. You just don't know what is in the bags, or, you know, for our officers who go out and have to look through for evidence, they have to be so careful. Could be any kind of fluids or asbestos, toxic materials, or just sharp items.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, this can be on a, you know, public road. People can drive into it, cycle into it, or whatever, can't they, as well? Okay. So there does seem to be a big campaign, both by St Albans Council and also by Herts County Council. What are you doing about it?
Yeah, well, it's not just Herts County and St Albans District Council. We've got together with the fire brigade, the police service, the farmers union, the environment agency, and Keep Britain Tidy. And we've all been working really, really hard together to come up with a strategy to raise people's awareness of fly tipping, how they can prevent their waste from being fly tipped. They might hand their waste over in good faith, 20 quid, lovely, that's it, all gone. And it ends up being fly tipped. So it's really helping to make everyone aware of what fly tipping is, and that we are working hard to tackle it, bringing prosecutions and tracing who the perpetrators are.
OK. Now, you touched there on this obligation that we've got as far as people taking away our waste. What exactly do we have to do? Because we can be liable if they flight a bit somewhere, can't we?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Huge fines if we go through a fly tip and we find evidence and can trace the rubbish back to you. You may well say, oh, no, but I gave it to, you know, this guy. He just came up and he saw I had a couple of bags of rubbish. But at the end of the day, it's still your rubbish and you have a duty of care to make sure it's disposed of. So the key thing you're looking for is a waste carrier licence. These are issued by the Environment Agency and any reputable waste carrier will be able to show it to you. If you want to double check, you can go onto the website, put in the number, and that's absolutely fine. This is very different from a van permit.
Right.
People might say, oh, I've got a van permit. That's very, very different. It's a waste carrier licence. Okay. You want.
And even if it's, say, a builder who's working for you, he'd still need that, would he?
Absolutely.
Oh, right. OK. So you mentioned the fact that there's big penalties. What are those?
Well, it can be up to £50,000 and indeed imprisonment in the worst cases.
Right. So definitely a big incentive not to fly tip then. So we have got unwanted items that we want to get rid of cheaply, easily perhaps. What should we do?
OK, well, obviously the council has its bulky waste collection service. So that's up to six items, £45, just, you know, give us a call and we can arrange that.
OK, so that's literally just a phone call to you at St Albans District Council?
Veolia Contact Centre, that's fine. Okay. And they can arrange that. It's a quick and easy way of doing it. Go to the household waste site or just Google. Just go onto your search engine and put in rubbish removal company, St Albans, Harpenden, wherever you are, and they will come up. So just phone them up, ask for the waste carrier licence, and if you're satisfied that they have got all the paperwork in place, then you can employ them. They're not hugely expensive.
OK, and as you say, definitely a lot cheaper than that £50,000 fine that you might be liable to. Mm. Excellent. Louise, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Louise Palmer. She's the Waste and Recycling Officer for St Albans District Council. And I'll put the information that she covered on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. That's radioverulam.com/environment. Now, in case you haven't seen, the Sustainable St Albans Week events are all now online at sustainablestalbans.org, so you can see all the exciting things that are going on during the week from the 21st to the 29th of April. And if you'd rather not go online, you can also pick up brochures at locations around the district. You'll find them in libraries, tourist information office in town, at the council officers, cafes and shops like the Fleetville Larder and Eat Whole Foods on Hatfield Road, or going to an Oxfam shop or something like that. All the events are all in there. Now, you can already book tickets, and let me say, I heard today that apparently there are already events that have sold out. So you could book tickets, for example, for the Our Planet event on Saturday, the 21st of April. That's at Rothamsted over in Harpenden. That is the half-day event of talks on all sorts of different environmental subjects from a host of really interesting speakers. You can also book to go and see A Plastic Ocean. That's on the day when Plastic Free St Albans is being launched and A Plastic Ocean is being shown at the Odyssey Cinema. And that's on the 22nd April. And if you go onto the Odyssey website, you can book that there. So you might be interested to know if there's any under 18s that you know, that it's the last day for the Living St Albans photo competition. That's also part of Sustainable St Albans Week. And that it's open to all school age children. You can take a photo of anything to do with the natural world or sustainability somewhere in the district. Now enter online on the Sustainable St Albans website, and the closing date is tomorrow, Thursday. But remember, there's a first prize of £100 in each category, so worth a try. Get your phone or your camera and go and take that lovely photo. So we've got Easter coming up. Just a few tips. Remember, you can buy Easter eggs without plastic. Do if you can do. And if you can't, if you have a gift for an egg that comes in a lot of packaging, recycle the card that goes into your paper and card recycling, that plastic stuff that can go into your recycling bin, that's a recyclable plastic. And if you just get the foil and scrunch it up as much as you can into a nice fist-sized ball, that also can be recycled as well. Now, do listen to Radio Verulam this Friday, Good Friday at 6 o'clock, to hear all the excitement from the Mayor's Pride Awards. Now, they took place last night, and you can go to the radioverulam.com/environment to listen to the podcast of last week's Environment Matters, where you can hear from all the wonderful Environment Champion finalists, Food Smiles, Food Waste Ninjas and the Stags Eco Council. And you can hear who won, as I said, 6 o'clock on Good Friday here on Radio Verulam. So do make sure that you follow me on Twitter at @RV_environment, or check out our Environment Matters Facebook page to get a heads up on what's coming up on Environment Matters. And also, do drop me a line. If you've got something that you'd like to see covered, you can drop me a line, amanda@radioverulam.com. Perhaps if you've got a comment about the show or ideas for things for us to cover. Now, I'm going to be back next week. We're going to start covering some of the wonderful things that will happen during Sustainable St. Albans Week. And next week, we'll be hearing from Bernard the Park Ranger from Verulamium Park, who will be telling us about their event and some of the great things they're doing there to help the wildlife. And also, we're going to talk to a lady who has a lovely novel solution to disposable crockery. So until then, stay warm, have a great Easter, and thank you for listening.